Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10, I would like to read a passage that is incredibly familiar to all of us. The title of mine at the top of that chapter, the top of that part, is The Armor of God. How many of you have that same title on the top of yours? Yeah, The Armor of God. Put your eyes on it, would you? Beginning at verse 10, it says this: finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to take your stand. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth, buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the enemy. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray over you something very specific. I want to ask you this morning to put one hand on your heart, and if you would put one hand on your mind, on your head. I think you are all aware of it, that you have more memory and understanding ganglia in your heart than you do in your head. So Father, this morning as we enter into this time, I want to say thank you that you have given us your Spirit, because without you, Holy Spirit, we could understand nothing in the spiritual realm. I thank you that you have prepared every heart and every mind for what you are going to be sowing here today. And I believe, Father, that there will not only be transformation, but revelation in the life of every person under the sound of my voice. I ask, Holy Spirit, you would take literal possession of me. I only want to say what I hear you say and do what I see you do. And Holy Spirit, every person standing now, I thank you that you are going to be speaking into their lives. They are going to hear your voice. They're going to know it's you. And they will be obedient to that word. And so by faith we say thank you for what you are going to do, Holy Spirit, because the word never returns void with you. We ask it in the powerful and the beautiful name of Jesus, and everybody believing said, amen. Please be seated. This morning I am being led by the Holy Spirit to share a picture and to plant a picture, draw it. I would love to be able to brand it on the inside of you that the Holy Spirit used in me many years ago to change my life and to bring a transformation about in the place of the Word of God in my life. Several weeks ago, we began talking about the Word of God and its place in our life. The first message I shared with you, some of the events that the Holy Spirit used in order to awaken the truth of the Word and its place in my life. The second message, we talked about the design of the enemy in many areas of our life to take that which is meant to be holy and have it slip into the commonplace where it loses that place. If you missed either of those two messages, I want to encourage you to go online and listen to them. They lay a foundation, and we are going to build on that this week, next week. And I'm looking forward to Sunday the 22nd, because that is the Sunday we will be talking about the Word being made flesh. And I'm excited to share with you what God's laid in my heart for that Sunday. Today I need to paint a picture that I pray Holy Spirit will use in you to make the reality of the necessity of the Word of God in our life come alive. I want to draw something that you already know, but I need to just go through it again today. In the Old Testament, if I were to ask you, how did the Holy Spirit work in the Old Testament? And I'll give you just an A and B. Did the Holy Spirit work from the outside of a person or from the inside of a person? Where did he work? On the outside. We know in the Old Testament that when the Holy Spirit came upon people, he came on them for a period of time. They did what God empowered them to do. Then the Holy Spirit left them. We know with Samson, the Spirit empowered him. We know with David, the Holy Spirit empowered him. We know on the outside all the time. The Spirit was working from the outside in order to accomplish. Even when the prophets spoke, the Holy Spirit came upon the prophets. They heard the word of God. They recorded the word of God. But the Spirit of God was not at work on the inside. And can I ask you why? Why in the Old Testament did the Spirit work from the outside and not the inside? Why? Say it again. He wasn't inside, but why was he? Why? In fact, let me ask you, why could he not be on the inside in the Old Testament? Because they still carried the sin in their life. We've talked about this before. Holiness cannot be where sin is. And so that is why in the Old Testament, on the outside, in the New Testament. And what happened in the middle is what Sharon said, when Jesus came, when he died on the cross, when he rose again from the dead, after he left in the upper room. And I just got to go back and say this for a second. Do you remember with John the Baptist when God spoke to John the Baptist and they must have had a conversation and John said, how am I going to know who the Messiah, who the anointed one, how am I going to know that? And do you remember what God said to John the Baptist? How would he identify who Jesus was? What was the one mark? The Holy Spirit will come upon him and not depart. Enter into him and not leave. He goes, that will be the sign of who the Messiah is. When John baptized Jesus, the Holy Spirit came on him, remained on him, and went in him. Can I ask you, why was Holy Spirit able to go in Jesus? Because he was holy. Because there was no sin. On Pentecost Sunday, when Pentecost came in the New Testament, when people believed in Christ, as a result of that belief, their sin was forgiven. Would you just jot down quickly 2 Corinthians 5:21? He who knew no sin became sin so that what? We could become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus knew that in the New Testament, when people believed, their sin was forgiven. And in the upper room, when the Holy Spirit came, for the first time other than Jesus, landed on them and remained and went in them. I want to tell you, for 4,000 years, people were looking for that day. For 4,000 years, the prophets were talking about that day. For 4,000 years, that was what God was up to get them to a place where his Spirit could be inside of people again. I want you to think about this. When the Holy Spirit came inside of people, Jesus had talked a lot about the Holy Spirit. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to do this, he's going to do this, he's going to do this. But I want you to think about the one term that was used for Holy Spirit when he came. The Holy Spirit was the power of God. What is the word beginning with D? Dunamis, which is where the word dynamite comes from. When we are filled with the Spirit, we are filled with the dynamite of God. The power of God comes on the inside of us. I will never forget, and for those of you who've been to the Believers Conference or any conference, I'll tell you, go, you hear a whole pile of things. The fire hose is shooting at you. You're taking notes like crazy. But all of a sudden, something comes, and it just awakens inside of you. I will never forget when Kenneth Copeland made the statement, and he said this. He says, we need to begin living with a revelation that the greater one is in us. The greater one is in us. I hope you get that. It's like we have our own personal spiritual Goliath on the inside of us. Huge, mighty, powerful, strong, dwelling on the inside. But I want you to grasp something else here. Throw this here. I want to do this. In this whole arrangement, there's two parts. God does his part when it comes to us filling. God fills us with his Spirit. I want you to grasp it. This is God's part. The price he paid in order for his Spirit to be back inside the way it was with Adam and Eve was huge. His part is to fill us. Our part over here is to plant inside of us the Word of God. His part is to fill us. Our part is to put the Word in. I want to ask you a question. How many of you ever had surgery in your life? Ever had surgery? Hokey smoke. Look around. Almost all of us. Praise God for doctors and that revelation, right? Can I ask you a question? How effective would a doctor be without any of his tools and instruments? How effective would he be? Not very effective. How effective would a mechanic be if he had no tools at his disposal? How effective would he be at fixing whatever he's got to fix? How effective? Have you ever tried cutting a lawn without a lawnmower? Have you ever tried that? It's called sheep, isn't it? But I want you to think, the Apostle Paul, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he used the military imagery, and he painted the picture. All of us have it on the inside of us. We've done this forever, the whole armor of God. In fact, I know that some of you begin every day, and you put the armor on. God, I put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. I gird my loins with the truth. I put on the equipment of the gospel of peace. One hand, I got the shield of faith. The other hand, I got the sword of the Spirit. We go through that. Some of us go through that every day to put that whole armor on. But I want you to understand, when he came to the Word of God, he said this. He said, the sword of the Spirit is what? The Word of God. I want you to get this. The Word of God is the weapon or the tool of the Holy Spirit. I want you just to get a couple things here, and I just want to clarify this before I keep going. I want you to know that the Word of God is not our sword. The Word of God is not our weapon. The Word of God is not our tool. The Apostle Paul, under the anointing, said the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The Spirit uses the Word on the inside of us. It is his sword. It is not our sword. I'll explain that in a bit. But Paul said the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The second thing is this. The Holy Spirit empowers us to understand the Word. And I want you to get really clearly. Without the Spirit of God, how much of the Word would you understand? How much of the things of God would you understand? Apart from the Spirit of God, there is zero ability to understand the things of the kingdom or revelation of the Word. We need the Spirit of God to do that. And I'll tell you, I'll tell you, the Bible says this, there are people who read the Word of God without the Holy Spirit in tradition, and the Word of God has what effect in its life? No effect. You can read the Word of God with veil on and it has no effect. In fact, let me just say this. What was used to justify slavery for all those years? What was used to justify it? The Bible. What was used to justify the oppression of women and still around the world? What was used to justify oppression, putting women in their place? Men are here, women are here. Can I tell you? The Bible. What was used to justify beating children or beating people in order to teach them? What was used to justify that? Let me tell you, the Bible. Apart from the Spirit of God, we will not see or understand the Word of God the way God wanted us to see it. We need the Spirit of God to do that. So first of all, the Word of God is not our sword. Secondly, it is the Holy Spirit that empowers us to understand. And the third is this. It is the Holy Spirit who enables us to use the Word of God to accomplish the will of God in our life. He wields His sword in and through our life in order to accomplish the Father's will on earth. I want to give you an example. Would you turn to me to Luke chapter 4? Luke chapter 4. We all know this account. Luke chapter 4 is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. We know that Jesus was baptized by John. The Holy Spirit landed on him. Right after the baptism, what did the Holy Spirit lead Jesus to do? Went out into the wilderness. 40 days of prayer and fasting. It says, I love how it says this. Jesus went out full of the Holy Spirit. He came back in the power of the Spirit. Something changed in that 40-day period of time. But the Holy Spirit led Jesus out into the wilderness 40 days. At the end of that 40 days, what happened? We all know. And I want you to hear this. It was not a demon who came to Jesus. Most of us have never encountered Satan ourselves because we're not big enough dogs in the spiritual realm to have a visitation by Satan. We'll have demons that come. Some may have had an encounter with the devil, but it wasn't a demon who came to Jesus. The Bible says that Satan himself came in order to get Jesus to sin and disqualify his entire purpose and ministry. I want you to understand the temptation was to disqualify Christ. I want to just throw this out there. Do you realize if Jesus would have sinned one sin, just one, do you realize that Jesus would have been disqualified from the cross as a result of one single sin? One. And if he had sinned one time, I'll tell you, he could not have gone to the cross for your and my sin. He would have had to die for his own sin. Just like every priest in the Old Testament had to deal with their sin before they could go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood for all the people's sin. That was the enemy's goal. One sin. Just one. That's all he needed Jesus to do. And so three times the devil himself came, tempted him. We know what they were. Jesus, turn the rock to bread. Jesus, jump off the temple. The angels will catch you. Jesus, bow down to me. I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. I want to ask you, in those moments when the enemy tempted Jesus, what happened? And I want you to see this. First of all, Jesus was filled with the dunamos of God. It landed on him and it was in him. The power of God was in him. Secondly, Jesus was filled with the Word of God. How do we know that? Can I tell you, and it's a beautiful thing, at 12 years of age, when Jesus is in the temple talking to the priests and all the leaders in the temple, what does it say about Jesus already at that time with his understanding of the Word? What does it say? He was teaching them. They were marveling at what was coming out of him. Can I just say this to you? We've been talking about it this week in different settings. I believe one of the reasons why God and Jesus chose Joseph and Mary to be Jesus' parents, I believe it's because those parents took the Word of God and planted the Word of God into Jesus from a little boy. So by the time he was 12 years of age, that Word of God was in him. He understood the Word of God. He was able to speak the Word of God. He had revelation. Can I tell you, Jesus was full of it. He was full of the Word of God. So when he began his ministry in the wilderness, the power of God was in him, the Word of God was in him, and then what happened? in the moment when the enemy tempted him, and this, I will never forget this, in 1995, we were in a Promise Keepers conference, and T.D. Jakes, E.V. Hill. Do anybody know the name E.V. Hill? Okay. Black preacher, powerful preacher, oh my goodness. I will never forget, he spoke the second message that night, and he spoke on the temptation of Jesus, and he said, when the enemy came and tempted him, and this is what 65,000 guys chanted in the auditorium, he said, how did Jesus respond when the enemy came? It is written. I will never forget when EV had 65,000 guys holler out, it is written. It is written. What did the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit pulled up the Word of God, specific for the temptation that was coming to him, brought it to Jesus' mind. And let me make this really clear. Do you know that the Holy Spirit can only bring up the Word of God that has been put down in? Do you think you have the ability, without the Word of God, for the Spirit to come and just plant something to pull the Word of God back to you when we have not planted it on the inside of us? He pulls up what we have put down. When the enemy came to Jesus, the Holy Spirit had a pile of word on the inside of him. He pulled up specifically what was needed. Jesus made the statement and he said this, it is written. The Word of God was put on his mind. It came out of his mouth. The enemy heard the Word of God through Jesus. Man shall not live by bread alone. That's all he said. The Word of God went. And when the Word of God went, the Holy Spirit now had a sword in order to deal with the enemy. Let me say it again. The power was in him. The Word was in him. The Holy Spirit brought up the Word that was in him, brought it to his mind, empowered his mouth to speak it. Jesus spoke the Word. All of a sudden, the Spirit had a sword in order to deal with the enemy and the temptation. How many times did Jesus resist the enemy? How many times? Three times. In every occasion, it overcame the temptation. It defeated the enemy's attempt to cause Jesus to sin. It empowered Jesus to be an overcomer, an overcomer, an overcomer. We need to see this. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He sees the need. He draws the word that is in us. He brings it to our mind. He empowers our mouth to speak it. And the Holy Spirit now has a sword. He's got something to work with. I want you to get this, and I want you to understand whether it is resisting temptation, whether it is sharing our faith with someone, whether it's praying over someone, whether it's teaching, whether it's speaking to sickness and disease, whether it's encouraging someone, whether it's cursing what has to be cursed and blessing what's got to be blessed. Holy Spirit knows the need, draws the word that is in us out, brings it to our mind, empowers our mouth to speak it, and when it's spoken, he takes the sword and accomplishes the will of God. It's his sword. For him, with his power, in every circumstance to accomplish God's will. I will never forget, and some of you were here, when John Alley, the Australian apostle, ended up, we got to know him in about 2010-11. Some of us ended up going there and able to spend a week at their home and during a teaching time. I will never forget when John Alley made the comment, and he said, every demon is looking for a voice. Every demon is looking for a voice. He says, without a voice, without speaking, they can't do anything. But he says, if they can get a voice and speak the words of the enemy, the enemy has power to accomplish. Can I tell you, that is just a counterfeit of what he sees God doing all the time. The word of God in the hands of the Spirit, Ephesians 3:20, I'll tell you, if you understand it, brings it to life. He says this, now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish more than what we could ask or imagine. Ephesians 3:20. So with Jesus, the Father empowered him to do it perfectly. The enemy was not able to derail him in his purpose. But I want you to understand this, the design of the enemy, he wasn't able to stop you and I from getting saved. But can I tell you? The design of the enemy is to keep us from ever being victorious and not being effective in life and ministry. And if he can do that, he has won. Can I ask you a question? How does he do that? I'll tell you how, and I want you to see it this morning. The enemy is powerfully at work in the life of every believer, making sure that the Holy Spirit in us, the power of God in us, the dunamis of God inside of us, has little or nothing to work with. Little or nothing to work with. I want to show you up here, and you can't see it, but I'm going to help you see. On the one end of the table, I have a toothpick. In the middle, going over, I have a plastic knife. I have a metal knife. I have a little larger knife. I have a knife that's very dull, but it's a little bigger for the sake of the purpose. And then I have a sword at the other end of the table over here. And I want you to think about this. We're not going to do it. Do you know that we could take every believer on the planet, every one of them, every one of us in here, we could walk to the front, and do you realize that the Holy Spirit would be able to reveal the size of the sword that the Holy Spirit has to work with in our life? I will never forget when the Lord showed me this a number of years ago. He showed me, and I'll tell you what he showed me. This is me. He showed me at that time in my life, he goes, Colin, he said, your sword is a plastic knife. He said, no wonder you have no victory over the enemy. No wonder you have no victory in that area of struggle. No wonder you're not able to do. No wonder you're afraid of people and can't share your faith. No wonder when the enemy comes at you, you battle with depression. No wonder. He goes, this is the side. This is all you're giving Holy Spirit to work with. I'm not going to ask you to do it today, but I want you to get a revelation. If you came up here and we said, Holy Spirit, would you reveal the size of the sword, the weapon that the Spirit has to work with in your life, he would show every one of us, whether it's a toothpick or the sword at the other end. I gotta say this. Wouldn't it be amazing if the moment we got saved and our sin was forgiven in the Holy Spirit, wouldn't it be amazing if God had the power to take his word and shove it on the inside of us and give us full revelation without any of our will, just stick it in there and the full sword is in there for the... Wouldn't that be awesome? Can I ask you why he doesn't do that? Why does he fill us with his Spirit, but our part is to take the word and do what Jeremiah did, to eat it, get it in us, put it in our eyes, get it in our ears, stick it inside of us, put the word in so the sword can come out. Can I ask you why God did that? I'll tell you straight up. You know what it is? It's free will. I don't know if you've ever seen the pictures, and they don't show it as much on television because most commercials now are all pharmaceutical. Do you know that? I'll just say this. Jane and I were talking the other night. We were going through. I was reading through, and we shut it off because we didn't want to hear that stuff. We were watching a Christmas program. I was reading through the symptoms of a pile of those pharmaceuticals on TV. Do you know the majority of them say causes depression, will give you suicidal thoughts, and it just... And I'm looking, and I began praying right there for John F. Kennedy. Now, why would a pharmaceutical commercial make me pray about John F. Kennedy? Can I tell you why? Robert Kennedy. Robert. Yeah, John. Robert. Why did I begin praying for Robert? I'll tell you why. Because he said there's only two countries in the world that allow pharmaceutical advertisements on their television. He goes, when I get back into power, he goes, they're gone. Now, that's why I'm praying for Robert, and you need to be praying too, because he's going to touch a multi-billion, trillion-dollar industry that doesn't want him alive. And I said to Jane, I said, what are they going to do on television when all of those pharmaceutical commercials are gone? There's going to be nothing to fill those holes. Yeah, they'll do cigarette commercials. Yeah, that's probably what they'll do. How many of you, if I asked you this morning, would come to the front and we said, Holy Spirit, would you reveal publicly the size of the sword of the Word of God inside of you? How many of you would just raise your hand and go, I want to do that. I want to make public what's the size in me. Most of us not. Let me give you two ends of the spectrum. The person who is saved, but they have little or no word on the inside of them. And I'll tell you what you know. I will never forget when I read the stat of the Billy Graham Crusade. 2 years after Billy Graham Crusade, only 4% of people who prayed to receive Christ were still walking with the Lord after 2 years. What is that about? The truth is, most of that is about the churches who dropped the ball and they made every effort to do it, to reach out to people who were saved, committed their lives, get that person into the church, begin to pour into them, disciple them, grow them, get them grounded. The majority of them never had that happen, and 96% were no longer walking with the Lord. But can I tell you, there's a pile of people who have come to Christ in this world, they're Christian, and because there is no planting the word, there is no teaching that is poured in. Do you know there's a pile of Christians who believe it's totally fine to be a Christian and not go to church? Do you know that? Do you know there's a pile of people who believe you can be a Christian and not read the Bible? I won't mention the whole Catholic Church up until 1963, but a whole pile of it after. And not just Catholic, but there's a pile. Do you know there's a whole pile of believers out there? This is the size. And they wonder why they struggle. They wonder why they're depressed. They wonder why they're not in victory. They wonder why they're not winning people for Christ. They wonder why they're not seeing miracles in their life. They wonder why they're not overcoming. They wonder why their marriage is falling apart. They wonder why they're not sick. They wonder why. I'm a Christian. Why is it not? Because this is what you're giving the Holy Spirit to work with. Now, can I say, is it possible to be a Christian and have a toothpick sword? Yes, it is. Because we all begin with a toothpick sword. But let me tell you, the heart of the Father is for me not to remain with a toothpick sword. Holy Spirit, this is all I'm giving you to work with. And we wonder why we struggle. We wonder why we fall. We wonder why we battle, we can't overcome, we just can't overcome. Because in those moments, there's nothing to draw from, and we can't resist by going, it is written. We can't say it, because I don't know what's written. The picture on television. How many of you have seen the pictures in Africa of the little babies that have the big fat bellies? How is it that when you're starving, you get a big fat belly? It doesn't make sense, but it's true. They have no muscle, there's no nutrition, and so their belly gets fat. Can I tell you, in the spiritual realm, there's a whole bunch of Christians who have big fat bellies because they're starving for the word. You don't see it physically, but I'll tell you, you see it spiritually. The other end of the spectrum. All the way down over here. And I want you to understand really clearly, This is not my sword. This is not my sword. Whose sword is this? This is the Spirit's sword. When that word comes out of me, it comes into my mind. I speak it out of my mouth. The moment it comes out, the Holy Spirit takes that word and accomplishes the purpose of the Father, this becomes a spirit sword. Do you know there are people out there, this is the side of their spiritual sword? In every circumstance, they are so full of the Word. They have planted it in it. They have studied it. They have listened to teachers. They have gone to church. They spend time in the Word. They ask Holy Spirit to give them revelation. When they get into those moments, the Spirit brings it up. It comes to their mind. They speak it out. They go, you know, the Word says, and they get it out there. And the Spirit has a sword this big to work with. And you wonder why things happen around them. You wonder why they walk with fruit. You wonder why people get saved. You wonder why there's effectiveness in their prayer. You wonder why they're encouraging. You wonder why they can win the battles when the enemy hammers them. You wonder why they're overcomers in virtually every area of their life. Because they've given the Spirit something to work with. I got to tell you, I would love if I could tell you this is where I'm at. I'm not there yet. But I'm working at it. When the toothpick is all the enemy gets, I mean all the Holy Spirit gets, can I tell you? There is no authority. There is no witness. There is no victory over fear. There is no wisdom. There is no power. When the sword is this big, filled with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit brings it to mind, speaks it out. I got to say this because so many of us have experienced this. I love this. When Jane and I are in counseling when I'm a counseling experience, you've experienced this too. You're in that moment. You pray before you get in there. You say, Father, I need your wisdom and grace. You're in that moment. Something comes up. All of a sudden, the Word just hits you, comes into your mind. And you know that's God speaking because the flesh doesn't bring it up. The enemy's not doing that. The Word comes up and you go, oh, that's awesome. Can I tell you what I'm, and I speak out the Word of God. The Holy Spirit takes it and all of a sudden something changes in that person's life. How many of you have had that happen? Almost all of us have had that happen. And why was he able to do that? Because we put something in and he was able to pull it out. I love that. In every circumstance of Jesus' life, in every circumstance, because he was full of the Spirit and full of the Word, the Spirit brought up and gave him exactly what he needed in that moment. He spoke it out and he accomplished. I want you to think about this. Who made the statement, I only say what I hear my Father say? Who said that? Who is the one who said, I only do what I see my Father do? You know what he was saying? He's going, there's never a moment when I open my mouth and speak without the Holy Spirit bringing up the Word of the Father. I hear it. And when I hear the Father's Word, then I speak it out of my mouth. No wonder there was fruit. No wonder it was accomplished. No wonder the Spirit did amazing things around him. Why? Because the sword inside of him was huge. I want to ask you this morning, and let his Spirit speak to you honestly. He is in you. Holy Spirit is in you. If you have come to Christ, if you place your faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you, the person and the power of God. But let me ask you, what's the size of the sword he has to work with in you? What's the size? If some of us are honest, this is it. If you're like me, when the Lord showed me, this was it. Can I just ask you, and I'll never forget when the Lord showed, he goes, Call, how effective do you think this is against the attack of the enemy? I saw him do this. He just bent it. In fact, the one I had before, it snapped. Do you remember the old ones that snapped? Go after the enemy, and my sucker just bends like this. He said, that's why there's no victory call. I began planting. Moved to this. began planting. Moved to this, and I'm still planting. I want to ask you honestly, and I don't want you to say it out loud, Zach, can I have you come? I want you to ask Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, the Word of God is your sword. Show me the truth of the size of the sword that I have given you to work with in my life. Just ask Him. Colossians 3:16 was a word that came alive in my life on this journey. And it's one of those, as I was reading through Scripture, it just jumped off the page and it landed on the inside of me. And this is what it said. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. One of the things I love about the Lord is when He shows area in my life where things need to change. I have never felt condemned of the Lord when He goes, Colin, you don't have enough faith in this area. That's why it's not happening. I've never felt condemned. I have felt motivated. When the Lord showed me the size of the sword on the inside of me, I tell you, I did not feel condemned. There was a hunger inside of me to change that. God did His part by filling me. I began to take the Word and put it in and put it in and put it in and put it in. I began to feed on it. I began to spend time. I threw the newspaper away. I shut the TV off. I began to put the Word inside of me so my sword, not mine, the Spirit had something to work with. I got to tell you, I wanted to make a difference in this world. The thought inside of me, God, if I'm going to follow You, either I'm going all the way or I'm going out. I don't want to be Luke. I don't want to be in the middle. I don't want to be ineffective. He said, grow your sword, Call. Plant the Word on the inside so the Spirit can pull it out and have something to work with in your life, in your marriage, in your kids' lives, in your ministry, every place you are. Give Him something to work with. I said, okay. I will tell you something. Don't be surprised if in your circle, not everybody is doing what you're doing. Don't be surprised in your family if the hunger you have for the Word and the time you take, other people are watching TV or they're gaming or they're doing whatever. And at the end of the day, they say, well, I had no time for devotions. No, that's not true at all. That's not true at all. Every person chooses what they do with their time. I just had to change my choices. It's all I had to do is change. I will tell you what you know. This is one area where God will not do for you what only You can do for you. Do you know there is no such thing as a spiritual plunger? I wish there was. I wish I could take the Word and shove it inside of people. Even if they don't want it, I wish I could shove it in them. Can't do it. Times I wanted to do that with my kids, couldn't do it. There's times I'm sure people wanted to do it with me, couldn't do it. I had to open up my mouth and I had to begin to eat the Word of God for me and let the sword of the Spirit grow in my life. Let the Word of God have its place. I'd like you to close your eyes this morning. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I don't want you to identify anything. This is between you and the Lord. He doesn't shame us. He doesn't expose us. But Father, this morning, I want to ask that You would give revelation. Every person under the sound of my voice, the size of the sword that we have given the Spirit to work with in our life. Father, I want to say thank you when you revealed that to me and you planted inside of me such a hunger for that to change. You planted in me an appetite for the word that did not exist before. You planted inside of me the desire to have a sword that would be powerful, the Spirit could use in my life to accomplish in and around me what I could never do on my own. This morning, I just want to invite you, because for most of us, when we get a revelation of where that sword is at and where it's not at, one of the first things that come is to go, Father, I'm so sorry. I'm that little African child whose belly is so big because I'm starving spiritually. I'm starving in your word. I give everything else time all day long. Everything has time except you. If this morning you need to take the time and just go, Father, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Forgive me. I repent. I'm asking you to change me. Change my appetite. Give me revelation of where my sword is at and revelation of where it's going to be. Father, you've told us in your word that we are not to be ignorant of the enemy's design. And today I thank you that you have exposed the design of the enemy as a believer to have our life so occupied, so busy, that the word has no place. We understand, Father, the enemy wants us to have a toothpick sword. That's it. I'm a believer, but ineffective. Today, enemy, I declare to you, you have been exposed. I declare to you, you no longer are the one who determines place in my life. I declare to you today that I'm making a decision today to plant the Word of God inside of me, to let it dwell richly in me, to give the Holy Spirit something to work with in my life and the lives of people around me. Today, enemy, you have lost your place. I am shutting that TV off. I am shutting off that computer. I am closing down that gaming. I am stop doing all of those things. I'm giving you notice, enemy. I've said I'm a follower of Christ, and today, I mean it. Holy Spirit, thank you. Right now you are speaking. Right now you are revealing. I thank you that you are the power inside of us, not on the outside anymore. You're the power inside of us to change whatever needs to be changed. If you are here this morning, or if you're listening online, and as I have been speaking, you recognize that. And you may have been going to church for years, but there has never been a time where you have made a decision, first of all, to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've known about Him. You've gone through the motion. But you've never prayed to receive Him as Lord and Savior. This morning, I want to invite you to do that. Just say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for loving me so much that you took my sin upon yourself and you died for me. I believe you rose again from the dead. And this morning I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of all of my sin. And fill me with your Spirit. Plant inside of me a hunger for your word. So the Spirit has a sword to work with. If you have prayed that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family of God. Church, would you stand with me this morning? Receive the blessing of the Lord. As a child of God, I'm releasing over you the blessing. And the Bible says, when the blessing is released, God puts his name on you. And then he is free to bless you. The Lord bless you today and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And in this Sunday of peace, fill you with his peace that passes world understanding. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody receiving the blessing said, amen. God bless you, church. Have an awesome week.